One of my favorite national holidays is coming up. I enjoy eating, if you can't tell, but yeah, I do enjoy eating. I read a quote a few weeks back and said, be thankful for the bad things in life. They open your eyes to the good things that you weren't paying attention to before. It really struck me. The author was unknown. They didn't have a list on there, but again, that's be thankful for the bad things in life. They open your eyes to the good things that you weren't paying attention to before. And that's good advice for the times that we're living in today. I know that many of us are going through some hard times, and it certainly hasn't been easy going through this COVID thing, has it? You know, we're ultimately looking towards the greatest days ahead for mankind with Jesus Christ upon his return. But before that, we do have some times of trouble ahead spoken of in Matthew 24:21, and it's very disturbing. We need to be prepared for those times as God's people. But we look forward to that time when Jesus Christ returns and when he comes. We look forward to that return. Jesus Christ will bring a success story for mankind, and it'll be without end. It won't fail. Thankfully, finally success. After all the failed governments of mankind, finally success. But not until some hard lessons are learned. But we do have a hope as God's people. That's the good thing. We have a hope to hold on to. You know, God's working with just a few of us today, and what a blessing it is to be one of God's chosen people today. Out of the billions of people on earth, there's only a handful of people that are listening to God's true message today. And you're one of the few that's blessed with that great gift. You know, this world is getting dimmer, and we can't get dragged down in all the bad news and everything that we hear. And there's going to be a great reset, I hear. So this great reset. So we know what this great reset is, I think. I think most of us realize what it's going to at least lead up to. It's going to be leading up to maybe a one world government and that beast power that we're told about in God's word. But you know, there's going to be a greater reset, and it's truly going to be a great reset, not a great letdown, because that's all this reset's going to be, is a great letdown. It's going to be a great disaster for mankind in the end, but we are going to have that great reset because Jesus Christ is going to set things right. And we have that to look forward to. You know, this way is about preparation and focus, isn't it? No matter what we go through, we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has our best interest through it all. He has our best interest through it all. And God had a plan for the pilgrims when they first came to America, and he has that plan for us as well. We can look at that. We have a destiny that must be fulfilled no matter what happens in our environment and everything around us, and that's exactly how they felt. Pilgrims, when they came to this country, they felt they had a destiny as well. They knew that there was something better on the other side. And the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims after the first harvest in the New World in October of 1621. I think they knew how to feast because it was a three-day feast. I don't know of many three-day feasts, at least in the United States today. We do things pretty quickly, don't we? Our feasts maybe last a few hours, but Edward Winslow documented this first feast, and it was attended by 53 pilgrims and 90 Native American Indians. The early settlers suffered many severe trials. They were fleeing, first of all, from religious persecution back in England, and they signed on to a journey to come to a new land that they knew nothing about or little about. You know, the journey was over uncharted seas. They went through storms and some constant, very rough seas. At times, they were unsure that they would even make it. Can you imagine going across the Atlantic Ocean in a wooden boat today? Probably wouldn't even pass for seaworthy in today's standards that they require to go across there. But they risked their lives to do that. They suffered from disease, scurvy, and other vile sicknesses that were unknown to them. And we're kind of going through some times like that. We're going through a time of a very unknown disease. It impacts different people very differently. There was a division among some of them, But upon reaching the shores of their new home in America, the first thing the pilgrims did is they dropped to their knees with an outpouring of gratitude towards God. So despite the harsh experience, they showed gratitude through all the trials that they went through, and it was hard. They showed God their gratitude. They still went through more trials ahead, as half of them died that first winter. Half of them died that first winter. And as a result of a poor shelter, inadequate shelter, and poor nutrition. What did they do? Again, they gave thanks to God in a feast to God. So how are we doing in our times of trouble? Are we a pilgrim? Are we acting like a pilgrim, or are we acting like something else? How are we doing this year? And I know it's been a rough year for a lot of people, and certainly rougher for some more than others. I know so many people have gone through some pretty deep trials this year, but how are we reacting to them? You know, Thanksgiving for us as disciples of Jesus Christ shouldn't be a once a year opportunity. It should be more than a once a day opportunity. We need to be thanking God throughout our day. I mean, let's take some time throughout our day and look at the things. I've learned through this whole thing to just stop and kind of look around me and thank God, you know, hey, I have a home and I have heat coming through this radiator. I could just flick a switch and the light goes on. I have running water. Unfortunately, we had a flood in our house, but but I was even thankful for that. I had running water, so I had to shut the water off temporarily. But I hope we look deeper at this, and we don't just celebrate like most Americans celebrate Thanksgiving this year. I think especially this year, it's not about football. It's not about the turkey. I mean, we are thankful for our nourishment. God does provide us what wonderful food, too. Like I said before, I do like to eat, and what a variety of food we have in the United States. I mean, I look at my table every night, and I'm like, I'm spoiled. I mean, this is unbelievable. My wife makes a great meal every day for me. But let's be thankful for that and show God our gratitude. You know, that gratitude is a part of how we worship our Creator. Gratitude is a part of worship. It should be a deep part of it should be very personal, that how grateful you are to our Father in Jesus Christ. I hope all of us include thanks and gratitude in our daily prayers. I hope we also take time to show others our gratitude too, as members of our family, our friends and our neighbors, people here at church, our brethren, let's not forget them, and people at work. Make sure that we thank them when they help us out. I don't think any of us has to look far to see how much we're blessed. And I know in my notes here, I said, I don't think any of us in this room, I think it's any of us here on Zoom, right, have to look far for our blessings. You know, first of all, we are here in the fact that we are able to hear God's word and our minds are open to it, because so many people are not open to that. God hasn't given them the blessing of opening their minds. What a blessing the truth is. We also live in a nation that's relatively at peace. I mean, we don't have any foreign wars, but we do have a lot of internal strife, don't we? And we see that right now. We're at a great divide in our nation right now. And we need to pray for that. Let's pray for peace among people. However we do with that internal divide, it is not just political, it's moral as well. We have a deep moral divide in our nation. And I see it for what people protest for every day. Some of it's pretty sickening. You know, but we can have an inner peace despite protests, despite a moral divide, despite political divide. We can still have an inner peace as God's people. You know, it's a choice. We have to choose to have that. But that choice has responsibilities with it as well. So that choice is to have that right focus, and to get us in the right focus, I'm just going to give you some of the basics. We have to study, pray, and meditate and fast. If we're not doing those things, how are we going to really have a peace and stay close to God through troubled times? Because times are only going to get worse. Let's do these things so we have inner peace. Now shut off our electronic devices and let's turn off the media. Let's have some alone time with God. I think that's very important to have that alone time with God. Turn off that phone. Turn it all off. Just get away. And I'm not advocating sticking our heads in the sand, but do it for a period of time where we can concentrate and build that relationship with God. And it's more important now than it ever has been, brother. You know, we need to be aware of what's happening in this world and be tethered to God and not our devices. Can we be at peace no matter what the outcome is of the election, despite how it might affect us? I think either way it goes, it's going to impact us either way, negatively, positively, maybe the same, I don't know. But we're going to have some sort of impact either way. But what are we going to do if it does? Now let's be thankful for the time that we have now. We have brethren around us, and hopefully next week here in person, but we can be together by Zoom afterwards. Let's connect afterwards. Let's connect and appreciate each other. I think that's really important that we appreciate each other. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. There is an agenda behind separating us. You know, we have brethren around the world today that take their lives in their hands to meet, and they risk it anyways. They risk imprisonment. So all I can say is, while we can meet, seize the day, carpe diem. Now and in the future, seize that day. There is certainly a hypocrisy going on in our nation. They want to close our churches down, but yet they want abortion clinics and marijuana distributors to remain open. Think of that. I don't know. You know, government officials are having birthday parties and other personal celebrations, yet they're putting pressure on churches to close and actually closing some. You know, I'm not advocating being reckless, but there certainly is an agenda out there. And we know who's behind the agenda. You know, make no mistake about it. The waters are being tested. You know, there'll be a day that God's people will truly struggle to meet. How much do we appreciate it today? And we're told that there'll be a shortage of the word one day in the book of Amos, and we're warned of that coming persecution as well. Let's turn to Amos 8:11. Sorry it took me so long to get to God's word. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now that's going to be a dark day for mankind. Can you imagine right now, today, we can still hear God's word freely. You can still preach the gospel freely. Can you imagine when that's taken away? Look at how lawless we've become as a nation, as all the Western nations have. Can you imagine once they squelch that, what this world might look like? People have even become more lawless. The word is precious and is valuable, and it's necessary for human survival. You realize that God's word is necessary for human survival. How much is it worth to us? Hopefully it's worth everything. Everything you've got. Let's turn to Genesis 25:27. Talking about valuing things. Genesis 25, verse 27. So the boys grew, and this is talking about Jacob and Esau, Isaac and Rebekah's sons. And Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was very weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know, as God's people and the first fruits of God's children, are we grateful for the birthright that we've been given? We actually have a birthright, brethren. How much are we valuing that? You know, can we become Esau's in the future? And there's going to be some tough times ahead. Some of us could lose our jobs. Some of us might even starve. I don't know. We don't know what the future is going to hold. But what will we give up for that birthright? Times ahead might get really rough. We need to focus on the things that are everlasting value. And that can be hard. It can definitely be hard. But we need to appreciate and remind ourselves that we have this birthright. Let's not be Esau's. We need to make sure that we're cherishing the things that God's giving us, that we're being thankful and we're grateful for these. Now, God will provide, but it may not be immediate. We might get weak. We might get very weak like Esau. God will provide. Trust him. He promises. He never gives us more than what we can bear. Let's be grateful and happy for what we have today. Don't take God's word for granted. Show him our gratitude. Dig into the word. Study it. Study it and study it again. Hear it. Show up for services once things settle down. I know today's an exception, but keep in mind, this is what I said I was going to say before, there's an agenda. And that agenda is Satan is trying to keep us apart. I personally believe that. It doesn't say that in the Bible anywhere. That's what I feel. I think he's trying to divide and conquer. It's the optimal situation for Satan, the devil. Separate God's people, divide, and pick off the weak. That's how he does it. But for now, this week, I think it's wise for people to Zoom. I think Mr. Thomas used wisdom in doing that. I think that was inspired. And for some of us moving forward, some people who are at high risk, I think it's wise to stay home as well. And I hope we're not judging each other in that. But those who are healthy, I think we take the proper precautions here. We wear masks. We're washing our hands. We're distancing. You know, I was thinking of the blessing of Zoom today and this during the week during the Bible study. Easy, right? Just Zoom, click a switch, it's on, listen. I was laying on my couch and kind of laying down. I was munching some stuff while Mr. Thomas was giving the Bible. It was easy, you know? You know, we're blessed to live in a time of technology, and maybe some of you are eating out right now, I don't know. You know, but I remember a day in God's church, I remember my parents, we lived in Lyndhurst, and maybe it seemed longer to me. I didn't Google map it or anything. But we would go to Bible studies in the middle of the week. My parents would race home from work after working all day. We would hop in the car, get all the kids in the car. We would go to Bible study. We'd be there till 10 o'clock at night, and it was like 40 minutes away. I think it's 40 minutes from Winters. I don't know. It seemed long as a kid. But, you know, I mean, that's how much people wanted to be together. I mean, that's how much they desired. You know, we've been given an opportunity, and Mr. Thomas spends a lot of time in preparation for the Bible studies. We've been given this great opportunity, and like I said, it's a click on your device, kick back. What better do we have to do on a Wednesday night once a month, but then to tune in to that? You know, it's an opportunity that God's given us. Do you think maybe, just maybe, God might think that's being ungrateful? You know, I know some people work evenings. I'm not talking about that. And people go to school and they have studies for the next day and things like that. But for those of us not in that situation, what can I do to encourage our congregation to seize that opportunity? You know, things will get tougher. I heard a sermon recently this week that we may look back on 2020 and say, look at the good old days. Think of that, man. Look at the good old days. Is it possible to be thankful in difficult times? And I know most of us have been under a lot of stress during the lockdown. Some of us experienced a lot more stress than others. Let's be praying for each other. We know many brethren here that need our prayers, and they still need healing. Please don't forget those that are still in the process of healing. There's a lot of people who need our prayers. But you know, God may be using this to prepare us for tough times, for the tougher times ahead. So why are we not taking opportunities? Are we thankful for this time to prepare? How does a Christian survive and thrive in these times? That's one of the opportunities. That's one of the ways to thrive and survive. What if life gets much more difficult in the very near future? You know, I don't have to step out very far to say that, do I? This world's hanging on a thread, and it's on the fast track. But we need to keep our focus. Our focus is the most important thing during difficult times. We need to look at the big picture that God's given us and the word that he's provided. Don't lose sight. And when difficulties happen, what do we focus on first? And it's so human to just look at our difficulties and those physical circumstances. And last I checked, I'm telling you, I know I'm still physical because I got some pains that sometimes will let go away. But pinch yourself and you know we're still physical. We still feel it. Oftentimes we worry and try to work it out on our own because that is human. We all do that sometimes. I certainly have. And it's easy to focus on ourselves and just that difficulty in the media, in the immediate. But what's really at hand when things are going on? What's it really all about? What's really being worked out during the trial that we're experiencing? You know, our focus will be the key on how we react. It's the key on the outcome of any difficulty that we go through. That's what God's looking at, our reaction. How are we reacting? What are we doing through these times? How are we handling the situation? Do we get angry? Do we maintain our cool? Do we cower in the situation? Do we blame it on others? Do we get paralyzed and just freeze up and do nothing? Or have we matured? Are we going to God first? Is that our first reaction? You know, God's Holy Spirit will help us, and we can get beyond the immediate. And his power in us looks to that spiritual outcome and not the limited physical outcome and maybe the outcome we personally want. It's going to take mature Christians to weather what this world's going to dish out to us ahead. Part of our success to get there is worshiping God and being deeply grateful. We need to have that deep gratitude. I think that if we begin to learn when we lose something, that we focus on being grateful for what we still have and not worry about the loss. And again, that will require a certain amount of spiritual maturity. And it'll get us through the tough times ahead. We'll be looking at the spiritual and not the physical. No matter what we go through, we need to remember everything changes. That's something we need to keep in mind. Good times and bad times. That's the one constant, is everything changes. So be prepared to get out of your comfort zones. You know, nothing stays the same, with one exception. And that's in Hebrews 13:8. That's Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How excellent is that? It's God. It's God's character. That's the one constant that we have in this world. The world's changing. The morals change. The values change with the day, it seems. Their values change with whatever way the wind's blowing. But God doesn't change with the times, at least not man's time. I was talking about that great reset. That's when the change will come. That's when man's time will change. When God's constant moral compass, standards, and laws will be set into place. He'll change those harmful and flawed ways that we've had with man's society and our governments, and he'll bless us with his way of life. You know, God will implement his changes that he wanted from the beginning of time. That's what he wanted for us in the Garden of Eden. He wanted success. He wanted a good life for each and every one of us. Let's thank God for his consistency in this ever-changing world. And we can rely on that. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we live in a world of inconsistencies, flip-flopping, lies, and deceit. And we can rely on God's promises that he will be consistent with us. His promises are the next thing that we need to be thankful for. They're sure and they're true. You know, we're the first called out to experience God's way of life as his spiritual children today. You know, we've been able to taste some of that. God gives us a small taste today. I know in the future, we'll have a full buffet of that. It won't just be a taste. And we're spirit beings, and we become like Jesus Christ. You know, I always like to talk about the flip side of the coin. So let's talk a little bit about ingratitude. You know, ingratitude and thanklessness is an earmark of our times, isn't it? The children are ungrateful to their parents. The spirit of entitlement seems to be the spirit of our day. How about us? You know, even if we're older and are blessed, you know, we still should honor our parents and be grateful to them if they're still around. Not just little children. You know, God gives us a commandment. That commandment helps equip us. It helps us to realize that we aren't entitled. The older I get, the more I see how much my parents cared for me. And every little thing that they did, I think back, I start to see all these little things that I didn't realize until I got more mature. We all should be looking on those things. Those are good things to ponder. Don't take them for granted. Don't take your parents for granted if you still have them around and you're as old as me. So let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them know how much you love them and they made a difference in your life. How often do we do that to our Heavenly Father? How often do we say, you made a difference in my life. Thank you, Father. Do we do that daily or perhaps not? You know, he provides everything, and we need to realize just how dependent that we are on him. There may be some people, even in the churches of God, that aren't truly being thankful to God at this time, or at least not thanking him the way he deserves to be honored, thanked, and praised, and appreciated. Romans 1:21 says, you can turn there if you like, Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. You know, that's talking about us, brethren. That's talking about those who knew God, those who know him. It's not talking about the world. Yet they didn't glorify him or give him thanks. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe they were too lazy. Take your pick. Be either one. They most likely stopped praying, I think. Probably a lack of prayer. Never took the time maybe to begin with to build that close relationship with God when they were first called. I hope that's not the case. Perhaps you can call them Laodiceans. But that is ingratitude. You know, the biggest ingrate is Satan the devil. He was ungrateful to God. Because of his ingratitude, he was able to turn on a loving creator and influence one-third of the angels against him in an unsuccessful coup. You know, Satan is a spirit of ingratitude, and you know, he spews that to mankind today. He spews it through selfishness, envy, greed, and the feelings of entitlement. You know, he's the spirit that we see in the world of you owe me. It's a spirit in opposition to being thankful and thinking they should have more for themselves. That's what Satan wanted, more for himself, more power, more control. In his thanklessness, Satan waged a war on God and he lost. Ingratitude is for losers. You know, he's waging war on mankind now, and sadly enough, we've all collaborated with the enemy from time to time. You know, we've all been ungrateful to God. We've all been ungrateful to others from time to time. However, we have the choice to win the war despite losing some battles. You know, we can choose to be thankful and turn to God. We can stay focused no matter what happens in the future. You know, it happened to others in the Bible. They were in prison, persecuted. They suffered famine and disease. Or we might be completely protected someday. It's God's plan no matter what happens to us. He controls what's best for you and me. None of us knows what's going to happen in the future. It's probably good that we don't know the future, I think. It takes away from life and the wonderment and surprises. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. But even through the bad, we can see the good, as I started out today. So if we're imprisoned, will we be the one singing praises to God, or will we be focusing on those bars and trying to bust out? Or perhaps the beating that we just took, or the locked door? Or will we be praising God, praying to him, and maybe singing those praises? What an excellent example that is in the Bible. I'm so thankful it's there. An unthankful heart is one that doesn't glorify God in hard times as well as good times. What does a heart look like? An ungrateful heart is a cold heart. It lacks mercy. It lacks love. It's a heart that's forgotten or never realized how dependent we as humans really are on our creator of the universe and the giver of our very life. You know, the architect and designer that keeps things going on this sphere that we call Earth, he provides, he sustains, he's in control of it all. If he wasn't, the Earth could be wiped out in a second. You know, some leading scientists, they're out there, they're watching all the asteroid trajectories to Earth. They have like 2,000 plus every day. They keep adding every day that are coming toward the Earth, and they're just like, what can we do about this? What can we do? That asteroid could hit the Earth. And, you know, some of these things are like maybe half the size of the Earth. And they pretty much come to the conclusion there's not a whole lot we can do. But yet they're still trying to do that on their own. You know who's protecting us? It's God. He has the plan. He's protecting us from that right now. You know, there's this thing, it's called the Goldilocks principle. I think a lot of you may have heard of that before, but we are in that just right zone where the Earth, just because of the rotation, the orbit that we're going through, how fast we're going, and all the seasons are just right. All of the heat on the Earth is just right for life, and the coolness in the winter. The changes of the seasons are timely enough to grow plants and food for life to exist. If there was a change in the axis of the Earth, they say that the seasons, by just a slight change in the axis of the Earth, could last for 6 months at a time. We could be in parts of the Earth would be 6 months in the dark at a time. How would you be growing any plants for food then? Nothing would survive, obviously. If the Earth were spinning 10% faster, we would have mega hurricanes that would just wipe everything off the Earth constantly. And then also the waters of the Earth would come around the equator and wrap around the equator and just flood the entire center portion of the equator of the Earth. If the Earth's orbit were around the sun only a fraction of a percentage, the levels of the sea would diminish, and the heat would be so hot on the Earth that and I don't know if you know this, but the water acts as a cooling system for the entire Earth, so we have just the right temperatures. We didn't have the amount of oceans that we have, the water in the oceans, the Earth wouldn't be cooled, and we would have a giant desert on Earth. Again, not sustaining life. So the Goldilocks principle shows us that we have a designer, an architect that keeps things in place. You know, we're fragile. We're very fragile. And we're in the palm of God's trusting hand, fortunately. Undeniably, there's a great creator, God, and he'll protect us and this planet from total destruction until he's done with it and done with us. You know, it's prophesied in Revelation 6:13 that the sun will be darkened and stars will fall to the earth and the heavens will recede. Well, there's going to be some celestial changes for sure. But we will be protected from that, brethren, as God's people. You know, God's going to let things unravel to some degree, and most people, it's going to get their attention for sure. But we need to have our attention focused now. Let's not have our attention during that time. We don't want God to get our attention that way. He's trying to get our attention, I think, now. Hopefully mankind will begin to acknowledge him and appreciate him for who God is, the great creator, the almighty. But what does a grateful heart look like? You know, we as God's people need to counter the ungrateful hearts in this world, and that's by being a light. We are told to be a light. We're to shed our light, and we're to teach others. So how are we being grateful? What are we doing to show our gratitude? You know, we can all be better in our gratitude and our thankfulness to others and to God and Jesus Christ. But first of all, a grateful heart is definitely a humble heart. It doesn't look only at yourself. It looks to the welfare of others. It sees and knows that he or she cannot be an island. We can't do it alone. Grateful heart knows that they're relying on others. They're relying on God, and they're relying on other people as well. That's why God made woman for man and man for woman. We need each other. We need more people. We need friends. And most of all, we need God. A grateful heart doesn't take credit from others when credit is due another. It gives credit where credit is due. And for us, that means acknowledging God, that he's our provider. He's our sustainer. It's prayerful to him, and it has conversations praising God for who he is and all he gives us and his generosity and for not forgetting about us. He never forgets us. God thinks about you and me every day. He has the capacity to think about you personally. A grateful heart never forgets. It remembers the goodness that they've received, and it responds. It takes action. Not that you owe something to somebody, but you want to say thank you. You want to do something in return. Your heart feels that way. That's what a grateful heart does. A grateful heart repays good for good and even good for evil. Doesn't matter how people treat it. A grateful heart will repay evil good. It doesn't take the gift for granted and uses it to the benefit of others. You know, God's given us all a gift. It takes that gift, and it uses it for the benefit of others. A grateful heart shares with others with no strings attached, without expecting anything in return. You know, God wants his children to have that kind of heart. And if you're grateful, I'm sure we can learn to have even deeper gratitude, especially towards God. Being thankful is reflected through the actions and not just words. You know, it's good to share kind words, but the disciples of Jesus Christ go further. You know, if we're changing our hearts and turning towards God, it'll show through how we live and how we honor God and how we treat others. You know, we'll be responding through obedience to God because we love him even more. We appreciate him because we see him more and more through all that he's done for us. And we stop focusing on what he hasn't done for us, and we focus on what he is doing for us. 2 Timothy 3 has a list of indictments against the hearts of humanity in the end time. Let's turn there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. You know, we're seeing these traits today. How unthankful are people in these last days? As Satan steps it up in the end time, he'll do his best to perpetuate an ungrateful mindset into God's people and the people of the world. He's trying to influence God's people by, he can manipulate the people of the world, but putting that pressure on us, we see that ingratitude. We see the feelings of entitlement. He wants to infiltrate God's people in all these ways, though. I believe through the subtlety of ingratitude, how he deceived a third of the angels to fall. Ingratitude is what he wants to instill in God's people, because that's where the dominoes start to fall, I believe. I think ingratitude and entitlement creeps into our lives. It's so deep into our culture now. We can see that it's really becoming commonplace. And these riots I saw where people were thieving, they were looting, and they were actually praised, and the looting was ignored by a lot of the media and even praised by some of our politicians and the media. I think that's pretty warped. And the Bible tells us to turn away from unthankful people. Perhaps it's more of a serious sin than I think maybe we thought before. It's just one of those that I'm thankful. But for those of us called today, we have blessings that we know that we have. We're a rare breed, brethren. You are a rare breed to God. You know, you're blessed today to actively participate and be a part of God's family. You're all children of God's. All of us are practicing. We're rehearsing. We're learning to live God's way. And he's working with us. You know, there's a blessing waiting for us that'll blow our minds someday. Stick to it. It's going to be worth it. It'll be more than worth it. Embrace it. Grab it. Hold tight to it. You know, we have so much more wealth in this world. And I know they announced the first trillionaire. But, you know, that's going to evaporate someday. Can you imagine what those trillions are going to do during the tribulation? Nothing. Zero. Nothing. What will you have? Look in comparison what you'll have. You know, God promises great rewards for those who love him. And we can show the love and appreciation by being obedient. Read John 14:15. You know, this wealth can never be stolen from us by a thief, by a rotten court system, by a government or a politician. This wealth is eternal. You know, God has you written in the book of life, that book of remembrance. He's documented you. You're legally documented. You're a legal document. This world is filled with uncertainty, but God's people can be certain in these times. You know, we're confident people. Confidence takes focus. Because of the promises of God, we are confident. What happens in this world around us should not shake us. And Titus 2:1 states that God cannot lie. God, it's impossible for him to lie. That's a promise to you and me. He'll keep his word. To help us maintain our confidence, we must control what goes into our heads. Keep thinking on the things of God. Keep on looking to what God's providing, especially in these changing times. He's given us so much. Filter out some of the things that come into us. I mean, we need to make sure that we're filtering that negative wavelength that Satan is casting in this world. We need to focus more on the positive. We need to get off those news cycles, all right? It's good to be aware of what's going on, but you can leave that news on constantly all day and just get overwhelmed with what they're saying. It's just too much. Get tuned in to God's positive word. I think that will help us through some of these times that we're going through, especially as we're locked down. I mean, because we are truly locked down and we're isolated in so many ways now. We need to be aware of what's going on in the world. We need to ponder these things and how we are going to react as things start to change. Take the time to notice the creation. Take a walk in nature. Lisa and I take a walk every day with our dog in the park so we can get out of the house. Look at what God created. Look at the trees, the birds. We go feed the birds and they're waiting for us every day. I throw the seed down and they all just come flying right down. And there's probably about, I don't know, 50, some days there might even be 100 of them, but there's so many. And, you know, I always tell them, thank God, this is really from him. He's the one who provides. He's feeding you. But take the time to see what God's done. It helps us to connect with him. We see his personality in his creation. You know, I bought a couple of nature videos, and Lisa and I watched them, and we had to laugh at some of the things. You know, God created some pretty humorous creatures. Some of them are pretty funny looking, and they're lighthearted. They do funny things, and it just showed, the one was showing the amazing, I mean, I just have never seen anything like this in my life, but the migration of the monarch butterfly. And I mean, just hundreds of thousands of these things swarming, and how they, determined migration of it, it's just so beautiful. I'll let you borrow it anytime you want. It's a Disney one, but of course, they talk about evolution. You have to filter that out because we know who really created it all. They're just in denial. You know, but we should appreciate God's lightheartedness and the beauty and the humor that he has for us. And he did that for us. I mean, he just made those for you and I to enjoy. That's a part of the enjoyment that he gave us. Are we grateful for those? I'm grateful for those moments. The older I get, the more I try to remember a moment like that in nature, something I see, and just the greatness of God. So here's some things that we could do in our daily lives. Take note of the things that God has blessed you with each day. Write them down on a piece of paper. You could put them in a book or a bottle or something. Open them up later and go back and try to remember those things. Think on a person in your life that you love to be around the most and thank God for bringing that person into your life. If you're married, hopefully that's your spouse. Send a thank you card to someone. Send them a note. Send them a thank you card. I'll tell you, some of the nicest words that have ever been said to me were in a card that I was surprised to get. It was from some of the brethren here in the congregation. I opened it up. I talk about inspiring and just being grateful to get that and uplifting. It was just awesome. I just really appreciated that. It was very, very kind and brought me up so much. But take the time to think on a good event that took place in your life. Then meditate on it as if it never happened. What would life be without that blessing? Perhaps without that person? Think about that. What if it was your baptism? We'd all be flailing around in this world, struggling. Probably doing a lot of things to harm ourselves. What about our friendships or a good job? Remove that and then put it back. You have it. God's given you that blessing. Do we know how good gratitude is for us? Gratitude is good for us. We reap blessings from being grateful. But it does need to be exercised in order for it to get better. I think ingrates, I'm just going to call them grateful couch potatoes. How's that? That's what an ingrate is. They see no need to exert any effort or show gratitude to God or others. They're probably selfish by nature. They're usually concerned with their own needs. And then after that, their wants and their desires. You know, but it takes God's Holy Spirit to get beyond all that, because we've all been there at one time or another in our lives. We've all been selfish. You know, gratitude is something that we need to cultivate. We need to be aware and practice it over time. We need to practice gratitude over time. God's way has benefits, and gratitude and thankfulness is no exception. Gratitude gives God the glory to where it belongs. It gives him the glory. We honor the giver, what he has given us. And our focus is on God and his kindness, his grace, and his love for us. You know, when we're grateful to God, we praise and honor him as he rightfully deserves. It's even a part of that worship, as I said before. When we show him thanks, when we show thanks to others, we show them respect and love in return for what they deserve when they're being kind to us. You know, people can give us their time. They can give us their kindness, a kind word. They can give us their love or their concern. But nobody likes an ingrate. Let's say you give somebody a very expensive gift. They look at you, give you the eye, and they walk away and you never hear from them again. Is that how we treat God? Now, how many people are even giving thanks for their meals in this nation anymore? How many people are giving thanks at the dinner table or the breakfast table? You know, being grateful helps us to see that we're truly, what's really truly being done in our lives. We actually get a deeper look. The more grateful we are to God, the more he'll show us what he's doing. And we'll be in tune to those details of things. We're not going to overlook those details that God has done in our lives. I think too many, especially in the Western world and fast-paced as we are, we have a tendency to overlook those details. And that's a big mistake. It could be offensive to God. And we don't want to be an ingrate. We want to thank him. We want to know him better. He'll show us those things as we ask him. You know, thankfulness builds our faith in God. As we see as many times he works in our lives, it's solid proof that he is working his plan in us. As we acknowledge his presence, we build that deeper friendship with him as well. And he wants to be our friend. He wants to be our father. And he wants that close relationship. And gratitude only builds that relationship. It builds relationships with people. It builds relationships with God and Jesus Christ. You know, thankfulness can go viral. And this is a good kind of virus. It's not and it is contagious. But, you know, gratitude will bring us that peace and contentment we were talking about earlier. Let's talk about the proper usage of the gifts that God's given us. You know, we need to focus on that because that is how we really show gratitude. Is there anything that's expected of us when God gives us gifts? He does have expectations. Our actions speak louder than words. They're the evidence, and they're the things that we need to do on our part. If we misuse our blessings, and if we misuse them, what does that show God? What do we think that's showing God? You know, God equips us with blessings for a purpose. We need to ask him for the help to show us what the gifts and blessings are for sometimes. Sometimes it's not always clear. But ask him and he will show us. Ask him how to use it properly. We want to use them for the intent that he gave us the blessing for. So we do have a responsibility as Christians with the blessings that God's given us, whether it be a talent, whether it be his Holy Spirit, whether it be our home, our money, our car. It's all his. Job 41:11 says, "Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine." He owns it all. He gives it to us for a purpose. Remember, we're in a plan. There's a purpose for that. Our actions are a reflection of the gratitude, and it helps us to see God more clearly in our lives. We can begin to see those details. Gratitude is an attitude, and it's a positive attitude. You ever notice that grateful people have a smile on their face more than ingrates? I mean, I just see grateful people smiling a lot more often. People who say thank you, people who are more giving. You know, as disciples of Jesus, we need to show God and others and perpetuate that good and that positive. We need to show that to them. We need to display that as well. We are the lights of the world. Make sure that we're focusing on the gratitude each and every day in our lives. We need to reflect on the right and godly things, and then our God can be praised through our examples and thankfulness. Turn to Luke 17 as our last scripture, Luke 17, 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, there was only one out of there. You know, and the Samaritan was the despised. He was the foreigner. He wasn't the chosen people of Israel at that time. But he was the one who gave thanks. Let's make sure as God's people that we're showing the gratitude that God deserves. Psalm 138 says, I'm just going to give this one. 138:1 says, "I will give you thanks with all or my whole heart." If we're thankful and appreciative to God, here's what each of us will do. We will value this gift. We will protect this gift. And we'll nurture this gift to our last breath. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. You know, the leadership I know here at the church, we're all appreciative of every one of you. Thank you for being a part of God's church here in Grafton, Ohio. You know, gratitude will help us all help each other get into God's kingdom. Have a wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving.